Time to have a look at the world of politics, and we do it with Professor Jim Jost. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Mark.
This week we're going to come down just a little bit, not into national politics, not national stage, but we're talking the local council elections that many here in the Hutto were part of across the weekend.
Yes, it was an interesting sort of outcome. There are a number of sort of layers to it, I think. I mean, one, there's sort of just the local politics, the local issues that motivate people to stand for local government and motivate voters to support them. There was a pretty good turnout, I'd have to say. I was sort of there was a small percentage of informal votes and stuff, but I think when you look at it, people did take a bit of an interest. There was a big swing in some wards to the Labor Party. I mean, there was some significant increases for the Labor Party, but you know, when you look at it on balance, the overall pattern, I think, is one of, to some extent, dissatisfaction with the Liberal state government. There's a sense in which that message was sort of coming through, because it's not just that there was a big swing to some Labor candidates in some wards, but the independents seem to poll pretty well, and the Greens seem to poll pretty well. But again, if you go ward by ward, it varies.
Sure. Do you think that people do, I was going to say, have a hard time differentiating policies and decisions that are made at a federal or state level and making that separate from what's happening in local government? Because they are different. But do you think it's like, well, I generally vote Labor, or I generally vote the Greens, or whatever, that just is how we vote, no matter what the election?
Oh, look, I think there's an element of that, and people tend to be guided by their sort of state and federal allegiances to some extent. But people do differentiate quite significantly between state and federal, even though sometimes political parties seem to ignore that. Voters are somewhat discerning about the two levels. It's probably a little harder for people at the council elections, because it's only in sort of, you know, the past decade or so that they've been compulsory voting for local elections. So people have had to get used to this idea of turning out for local council elections and maybe thinking about them in ways that they would ordinarily not have done in the past. But I think people do understand, and many people recognise, that what happens within the local government area, in the council area, is somewhat different to what happens at state and federal levels. In some respects, the local government issues are very much in people's faces, you know, day-to-day issues, you know, like literally, you know, sort of roads and gardens, weeds and rubbish removal and all that sort of thing.
Sure.
So these are things that sort of people confront sort of on an everyday basis. To who they hold responsible is another matter. But I think that, you know, when it comes to the local council elections, there's a potential, because the wards are relatively small compared to, say, an electoral division in a state or federal election, there's a high probability that the candidates will be known to many of the voters. And so there's a more personal element that influences people's votes. A lot more so than in the case of, say, a federal election or a state election.
Well, the likelihood is you've never met that person and you've seen them on television and that's about it. You do mention, though, that personal connection with local candidates. Like, there's a couple of candidates that come to mind, won't mention who they are, and I've known some people that I'm friends with that person, they're good, like them, and then I've met some other people that were like, oh, I really know the family of X, and oh, I would never vote for them, they're a bit shifty or whatever. So I think that personal connection will come in for a lot of folks. You did mention, Jim, the roads, rates and rubbish type of bread and butter issues. Was there much of a backlash, you think, from because councils this time around were really putting their hand up, or many councillors were putting their hand up on a lot of more social issues, things that are left at higher levels of government? Was there much of a backlash or run towards parties that were speaking out in these arenas?
Oh, look, I think that's more difficult to identify, because a number of the sort of candidates and parties understand, and I think, let me put it this way, I think that the move towards some greater awareness and commitment to social issues is part of understanding that, in particular, the city renovation, for example, the revitalisation, as they're calling it, of Newcastle, all of these involve a degree of social issues. And yes, there's a need for working with state and federal politicians here, but at the local level, there's a greater awareness that improving some of these services and facilities within the local government area will benefit the local community much more readily. So there's a bit of a shift to that direction. How far they can go that way is partly dependent upon the funding arrangements and the support that they might get from state and federal quarters. Councils are limited by the amount of money that they can earn, so through their rates. So if they put the rates up too high, they'll lose voters rapidly. But I think, you know, if we look at that from a bigger picture perspective, that shift to sort of more social issues is part and parcel of an understanding that the local environment is much more important than the big picture.
Fair call. Let's see how we go then. Congratulations to those who got across the line. Of course, Maitland's still a little bit up in the air at this stage, but we'll watch that.
Yes.
Thank you, Jim, as always, for joining us.
My pleasure, Mark.
Areas Professor of Politics, Jim Jose, talking all things this week, local government, with us at 2NURFM 103.7.